Smoke Signals is an independent film directed by Chris Eyre with the screenplay written by Sherman Alexie. It premiered at the 1998 Sundance Film Festival. It'll be screened in Park City one more time tonight when the director and the screenwriter reunite for a whirlwind tour of Park City this week, meeting with high school students and the community. So welcome back, Chris and Sherman, to Park City, and thanks for being on the Local News Hour.
Yeah, coincidentally, Chris's Indian name is Whirlwind, so it works out well.
Yeah, so that works out. Actually, my daughter's name, Whirlwind Hale. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So that's actually my daughter's name, so we have something going here. This is
good. All right. Well, Sherman, you've got to be honored that Park City chose not one, but two of your books to be shared this summer by Park City High School students and the community at large. And I understand that you'll both be meeting with students over the next couple of days. So anything in particular, Sherman, that you want to share with them?
Well, the great thing about writing the young adult novel I did is that when they do these One Book, One Cities things, the teens will generally read my teen novel, and then the whole community will read the adult novel. So I love that I get to reach both audiences directly. And visiting the high school is going to be fun. I know you're visiting film classes a lot, Chris is, and then I'll be in the English classes and literature classes.
Yeah. So anything in particular that you want to share with students who are interested in, say, in a writing career? Or?
Oh, don't do it. people are getting increasingly mad at me for saying this, these younger folks, but I really have no clue how you'd go about having a writing career now. The internet has so dramatically changed the way in which I made a career that I really have no useful advice to anybody anymore. I'm a dinosaur. It's just, I already have a built-in audience. If I didn't have a built-in audience, I don't know what I would be doing.
What about film? Do you feel the same way about film?
Oh, I feel even more so about film. Studios who used to make Taxi Driver, you know, who used to make those kind of films, pushed those out. Those kind of films got pushed out into the independent field and then pushed the really independent films featuring, let's say, Indians, way out into the margins. So the change in Hollywood has really pushed the kind of films I would like to make completely into the...
I actually got to do a Huffington Post interview a month ago because The Lone Ranger and Tonto came out. So I was relevant there for a day. But, you know, the thing is that, you know, we made Smoke Signals in 1998, and it was where my grandmother was saying, what is independent film? So there was a national consciousness, and that paradigm and marketplace has, like Sherman said, it's completely shifted. And that's not good or bad, it just is what it is. And I think cycles come around, and you know, we were part of that. It was, you know.
Yeah, certainly, though, to be good at your craft, I mean, you would say, you want to be a good writer, write. You want to be a great filmmaker, keep making film, right?
Absolutely. And you know, we've both done that over the years. Continue to make work. And, you know, after we made Smoke Signals, I think it took me 3 or 4 years to make another movie. And it was just because I with Sherman, made that first movie. And all of a sudden, I said to myself, now what? And then I realized it's about repetitions, like you just said. It's about making work and not looking where it lands particularly, but making the work that you feel is important to make.
Yeah. Tell me about your collaboration, though, in coming to make Smoke Signals. Was it something you had read and you're like, oh, you could just visualize it? Or
I was a graduate film student at NYU, and in 94 a professor gave me The Lone Ranger and Tonto, Fistfight in Heaven by Sherman Alexie, and it was one of the first books that I ever had the focus to read after To Kill a Mockingbird in high school. And that said something. I mean, that said a lot. That said, wow, I can actually read and enjoy this. And it was because of the way that it was because of Sherman's sensibility, which I'd never read before. And it was that thing that people have said, you know, for years, which is that I think Sherman has this ability to, you know, turn on a dime and go from laughter to tears in a single sentence. And I just was kind of like, wow, this is something that I'd like to make a movie out of. And naively, I took that and I said, hey, my name is Chris Eyre, blah, 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 blah. And he answered the phone.
And what was your reaction?
Well, I answered the phone and you were telling me You know, as an Indian in the mass media, as a public figure Indian, there's a lot of people who tell you they're Indian. You get that a lot. And I'd gotten plenty of phone calls before from people who, you know, oh, I'm Indian, I'm this, I'm that. And so I took his phone call. He's a very nice guy, and he's an NYU film school. But I wasn't necessarily convinced of his Indianness until I talked to him on the phone a bit. And then we met in New York.
Yeah.
And then you were like 45 minutes late, and that's when I knew you were Indian.
That's right.
He's way Indian. And then also learning that he grew up in Klamath Falls, Oregon, in the Northwest. So we had that geographical... I'm blanked on a word. We were from the same geography.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, had you written screenplays at that point?
Or no.
So that was a new venture for you, too.
No,
so.
And we met, and then as soon as Sundance, the Institute, had heard we'd met, then they really started pushing us to come to the Institute itself to work on it, and for me to start meeting screenwriters and getting help with that.
Yeah. So do you prefer one over the other, novels versus screenwriting?
Oh, I rarely. I mean, I've written a few screenplays, but no. You know, I've tried to get my own movies made, and it doesn't happen, so I've actually quit doing that. Mostly I work on other people's projects.
But I understood that you had a film. Both of you guys have brought back films.
Yeah.
You brought back the film Skins to Sundance, and you had The Business of Fancying
Death. Yeah, that's 11 years ago.
Was it 11 years
ago? Yes.
So they certainly didn't have the popularity of Smoke Signals.
No, so you could hear crickets when I brought Fancy Dancing here.
Yeah, same here. I mean, I've had a great success rate of small movies opening and closing. It's true.
Yeah, I know. I've had a great record of one movie that we distributed ourselves.
So what is it about Smoke Signals then? I mean, what was the magic? I mean, because you guys walked away with the Audience Award winner, went on to win other accolades as well.
The magic, I've thought about that for years, you know, and I said, what was the magic? And there's a few things. I don't know if I can put my finger on it, but one of the things, and I never talked to Sherman about this, is I can't believe at his age that you had a grasp of forgiveness that you had that's embellished in that whole story. You know, forgiveness is something that you know, people learn, or hopefully learn over the years. But, you know, for a 20-something-year-old guy to have that in their universe was something that he embellished throughout the whole screenplay. And I think that's the staying power of the movie, which is, you know, I've screened it in penitentiaries, and I've screened it. I screened it in La Paz, Bolivia, last fall.
Oh, wow.
I had a girl, a young woman, come up to me. I'm running a film school in Santa Fe, at Santa Fe University. And today, before I got on the plane, a Navajo girl came up to me, and she said, I got to tell you, I have a VHS tape of myself being Thomas Bildsifier when I was 8 years old, and I want to bring it in and show it to you. And I gave her a hug, and I said, bring it in, I want to see it. And the staying power of that movie is, I think, is about forgiveness. And I've sat there and I've said, you know, I don't know how the 20-some-year-old artist was able to flesh that idea out, and it crystallizes at the end of the movie with Thomas, but I think that was the best I can say for the magic of what that movie was.
Mm-hmm. The Sundance Institute, and of course its founder Robert Redford, they've been very supportive of Native American filmmaking, as you both know. And you know, at the same time, though, we don't nearly see the numbers of Indian film that we do, say, from gay filmmakers. I mean, Can you speak to that at all?
There are a lot more gay people. we're a very small population, and we're a very small economic population. And filmmaking is a money-making business, and the built-in audience for us is not there.
This may sound a little bit of a poo-poo comment, but it really comes down to what Roger Ebert said after he saw Skins in 2002 and The Business of Fancy Nancy was here. He ends his review by saying, most American audiences can't differentiate what they see from how they see it. And in my perspective, that is one of the dilemmas with Native film, which is there is such an inherent luggage or such an inherent quality to what people expect from it that it exists in a paradigm that people don't allow it to be much else. And I think that that's one of the dysfunctions of the relationship, which is we need the overcultural audience to exist, but we're not allowed to say it the way we want to say it to. Sherman is with his words, but yeah.
Well, I mean, I've transcended that after 20 years of a career. I don't have to deal with that double or triple consciousness as much. I don't have to translate as much. Mm-hmm. But you still run into it. You know, once you go outside urban areas. I mean, it's interesting that the people who most hold those ideas about us are the people who actually live the closest to us as well. You know, the movie business, is the literary business, I've made it, I'm fine, I don't have to deal with the same sort of pressures, but it's still the case in the movie business. You know, every time I go in to talk about a project, there's always this unspoken idea that it has to include these tropes, these ideas, these you know, the wise elder, the angry politics, and you know, it's hard. Some of the projects I worked in that weren't Indian per se, but that I wanted to have an Indian character, I had to fight to justify the presence of an Indian in a hospital as a doctor or as a cop, or because that's not expected.
Yeah, without being a big Indian in Cuckoo's Nest, right?
Yeah.
It's always a political statement when you put a Native person in mass media. If you were to put Native people in a Walmart commercial, it would probably cause a controversy. Because what are you saying by that?
Yeah.
By in a McDonald's commercial, what are you saying by that?
People freaked out. They had a mixed race couple in the was that JCPenney? Who was that? They had a mixed race couple, a black man and a white woman, and it freaked people out. Miss India just won Miss America.
Right.
Freaked people out. So, you know, you put Indians in Walmart, even though that's where 90% of Indians spend all their time. Walmart is sacred in the Indian world. It would be completely accurate to have
people
an Indian family.
People say, what? Why is there an Indian in this?
Yes.
It's political, always, you know.
So, any plans to work together again?
We did before with a project at HBO that came so close to starting.
We got knocked off by Dick Wolf and Barry Mahar and Wounded Knee.
Yeah. So,
We were prepping a movie that Sherman had written the screenplay on based on a great book called A Whale Hunt, and we were actually starting to cast them on location, and we got a call that said, we're not going to do it this quarter. And so you think, now does that mean in 3 months I should call back?
This quarter century.
This quarter. Oh, that's what I didn't get. I didn't get that. Okay. I should have known inherently that's what that meant.
Yes.
Okay.
So at this point, no.
No, but we are looking at, you know, I've been away from the business so long I hadn't even thought about it. And, you know, I haven't worked in Hollywood now for a few years, which is forever. You know, I'm completely forgotten in town. But, I was digging through old photos, and I found a photo of my dad, my late father, my big brother, and I at the first screening of Smoke Signals in Spokane, where I'm from. And I sent the photo to Chris, and then we started reminiscing, and then I thought, you know, I have a few screenplays I've written that I haven't even tried to get made. So, but the thing is, I was going to send them to him, but as soon as I looked at him, of course, I can't just send them. Now I'm rewriting, and parts of it feel so archaic. One of them is... 15 years ago I wrote it, so I am updating them, and then I'll send them to Chris, and then we'll figure out a way to go forward.
Okay. I've got one more question, and this is for you, because my colleague Rick Bruff asked me to ask this, and he said that you may remember that Sundance used to produce those short vignettes before they would show each film, and one of those was about you talking about meeting Parker Posey in a hot tub.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
You know, it was that thing when we were here for Smoke Signals. It was the film, and Miramax had already bought it, so we were in great. We were in big condo houses.
So
you know, multiple floors. There was a huge one floor in this. The one I was in. I don't remember. You weren't in that one. The one I was in, the bottom floor was entirely a hot tub. It was like some giant Swedish bath. And I came back from a long day of Sundance, and I walked down the hot tub. I was going to get in the hot tub, and Parker Posey and Ewan McGregor were in our hot tub. I have no idea how they ended up there, who they knew. I just said hi, and then I went up to my room.
And they said, why is there an Indian in our hot tub?
That piece showed right before a Parker Posey film one
uh-huh.
That year, and it was her entourage in the audience because it was her film.
Yeah.
So it was just people went crazy, but you actually did meet Parker Posey.
Yes, yes. Well, I didn't. Well, I met her to the extent that she was sitting in a hot tub with Ewan McGregor. It wasn't like I, you know, I drew her attention away from Ewan McGregor, or I drew Ewan McGregor's attention away from her. Can you get us an iced tea? Yeah.
Smoke Signals, directed by Chris Eyre, based on the short story This Is What It Means to Say Phoenix, Arizona, from Sherman Alexie's book Lone Ranger and the Tonto Fistfight in Heaven. It'll be screened tonight at the Jim Sandy Auditorium at 7 o'clock with a Q&A following with both Chris and Sherman. It's free and open to the public. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks.